This is a Locker Room production.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Michael the Hebrew Hammer Brown, coming to you live on the Locker Room app here on a beautiful Saturday evening in Houston, Texas, on day number one of NBA Playoffs 2021. I am one of the co-hosts for SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast, and I'm here with part two of our NBA playoff breakdown. We did the Western Conference the other night, and tonight we are here live on the Locker Room app discussing all things the Eastern Conference this evening. We did have our first Eastern Conference playoff game in the books earlier, where Milwaukee squeaked by the Miami Heat 109-107 on a game-winning shot that was, I will call it, downright spectacular by Chris Middleton. Giannis did have a good game, 26 points, 18 rebounds, and I believe he had 4 assists as well. And currently, we are watching the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Boston Celtics, and they are currently up by 5 points, 76-71. So I would say a decent place to start is probably at the top of the bracket when you look at the Philadelphia 76ers and the Washington Wizards. This is actually a really interesting matchup to me for a multitude of reasons. You do have the Philadelphia 76ers as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And the first thing you have to ask yourself about this Philadelphia team is, do you honestly believe that this team has enough to make it to the NBA Finals? First of all, the answer to that question is yes. I believe that this team is more than capable of getting to the NBA Finals. Will they make it to the NBA Finals? I don't know. I believe that this first-round matchup with the Washington Wizards, this series should last about 5 games. I think Washington, you got to give all the credit in the world to Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal for carrying that team. And yet again, this is another example of the Houston Rockets organization getting completely taken advantage of, I would say, by another team. John Wall was a guy who was there forever and could never get it done with Bradley Beal. They trade Wall for a guy like Russell Westbrook, and what does John Wall do? John Wall comes to Houston, plays once every 17 games, and does nothing, and Russell Westbrook plays damn near every single game and takes his team to the playoffs. And I give Russell Westbrook all the credit in the world. And it looks like we've got my man Zach Allen coming on to the show. If you guys are listening to the show, feel free to hop on to us to talk all things Eastern Conference. Zach, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good. How you doing? Can you hear me, bro?
I can hear you absolutely perfectly.
Yeah, let me get my earphones. I'll be right back. I'm going to get my earphones.
No worries. So we'll continue to look at this Philadelphia Washington matchup. I mean, Philadelphia is loaded top to bottom. The main question with Philadelphia is, can Embiid get it done in the playoffs? I'm a big fan of Joel Embiid, and as soon as Zach comes back on, I want to ask him about his opinion on, you know, the trio that Philadelphia has now in Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and Joel Embiid, and how that's going to look. So it sounds like Zach is back. Zach, we're going to start at the top here with Philadelphia. My question to all of the audience is, you know, what are your thoughts on a trio of Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons?
I mean, that's a great question. Honestly, I mean, it's up in the air. Like, this year's playoffs is ridiculous. I mean, it can go any other way depending on Brooklyn. But right now, I think Philly, Joel Embiid creates so many mismatches when it goes against Brooklyn, when it goes against, I'm going to say another team, like Milwaukee maybe. But you have to look at scenarios of those teams because, I mean, they can easily go to the finals. It's just how hard can Doc Rivers push these three? Tobias Harris, can you make his shot? Can Ben Simmons play great defense on a guy like James Harden and Kevin Durant? Does he have is he in shape just to guard those three like for 40 minutes of the game? And then you have Joel Embiid. He's having a great season. I mean, he's always been, I don't say iffy in the playoffs, but this year he's been different. So it's going to be a great look to see how he handles this new playoff pressure. Can he outstand the Brooklyn 3? I mean, he should easily, beat the Wizards in the 5.
Are you a Rockets fan? I mean, I see that. You work for, ESPN 97.5 here in the city, but are you a Rockets fan?
I am. Okay. I try to keep that a secret because I don't want people thinking like, he's a fan. So
sure. You're a fan of the team. You're a fan of the organization. Yeah. Are you from Houston?
Oh, I'm from Sealy, Texas. So it's like,
I got you. So my biggest question with Philadelphia as, here, this is a first for Harden, or excuse me, the Dream Take, where we're doing like a Eastern Conference and Western Conference breakdown. But I always want to try and, kick it back to Houston if I can. The biggest question to me when it comes to Philadelphia is, and I've said that now 3 times, but the third biggest question is, are you rooting for Daryl Morey to win a championship? Because to me, like, he's gone, and I, for lack of a better term, I don't give a damn. Like, he's no longer a part of the Rockets organization. Like, you go to Philly. With Harden, it's a little bit different. But I've heard that question proposed, like, the Rockets are now out of the champion, out of the playoff picture. Are you rooting for Daryl Morey and company to win a title? I'm like, I don't care. But what are your thoughts there? Should Rockets fans care about Daryl Morey and his path to a championship?
I mean, I don't really pay no mind to it. I mean, my eyes were set on Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and Doc Rivers, and see how they would do. I mean, yeah, Daryl Morey's in Philly. That's cool. I understand why he left. I understand. If I'm rooting for somebody, I root for James or root for Daryl. But I mean, he's in the front office. So I mean, but it's a great look. What you said, like, are you rooting for Daryl Morey? I mean, me personally, like I said, I have not paid no mind to it.
That's fair. And we're going to rapid fire because I got a bunch of stuff I want to get through with you while you're here on the show. True or false, the Rockets got completely obliterated in the Russell Westbrook for John Wall trade?
Yeah. It's funny. It looked like we won the trade at first because Russell Westbrook was going through so many injuries. Yep. The Wizards were not very good in the beginning of the season. It was looking like Westbrook was washed. It was so many different scenarios going on with that team. And then I don't know where Christian Wood goes out, and then we go to shit. I mean, excuse my language, but we're not.
Hey, it's real. It's 9:30 on a thunderous, rainy night here in Houston. You talk however you want to talk here on the Dream Take.
Got you, man.
It's bad, man. Like, I look at a guy like Russell Westbrook, and I had blinders on as a Rockets fan when it came to James Harden. Like, James Harden was my guy. Mm-hmm. I defended him at the water cooler, at the sports bar, at Macy's, at Target. Like, it didn't matter. Like, if I overhear somebody dogging James Harden, I'm like, oh, dude, like, that's, he still shows up. He can go to the strip club anytime he wants, but he's still going to show up. He's still going to come out and ball. But Russell Westbrook, I feel like in him, were just such a bad pairing. And I would have loved to have seen Russell Westbrook with this team, But because I feel like the front office has done this roster absolutely no favors whatsoever. But we're going to get to that in a few. Moving to the next matchup, which is the Knicks and the Hawks. The Knicks and the Hawks, to me, is going to be the best matchup in the Eastern Conference, period, end of story. The 4-5 matchup. I love this matchup in so many different levels. Are you and I on the same page? This is your most intriguing matchup in the Eastern Conference between Philly, Washington, Knicks, Hawks, Bucks, Miami, Brooklyn, Boston.
Dude, it's my second. That's my second. Okay. It's right behind Miami. It's right behind Miami, Milwaukee. And I want to see how that series is going to turn out. But I think that's like my second favorite series. And everybody's been going, they've been flip-flopping. Like, it's like Atlanta in 6, New York in 6, Atlanta in 7, New York in 7. I'm saying New York in six because Thibodeau is a great coach. And I mean, Atlanta, man, yeah, I got the decision. Because I say this because, like, Thibodeau is a world, he coached these guys pretty well. I mean, these guys, like, Julius Randle has been playing out of his mind. But, I mean, I don't know what a Hawks were at in internal ratio, but I wish I could look at that. But I feel like it's like they're both teams are young. It's like who can lessen their turnovers in huge moments?
Randall's a star. Julius Randle. I called it 4 years ago as a Rockets fan that Julius mm-hmm. Randle needed to become a Rocket because yeah. he's a star. The dude's a star. Like he's playing in the perfect situation for him, and it's such a shame to see that the Knicks are never going to win a title. Like, his talents are being wasted in New York. He's never going to do anything in New York. Yeah, they're a nice story this year. I have it written down in my pre-show notes that the Knicks are the Cinderella. I will call it the Cinderella story of the NBA this year. Everybody thought they were going to suck. I mean, here they are sitting as, what are they, the four seed? Are they the four? Yeah, they're the four seed in the East. I think the East is weak top to bottom. I don't think it's nearly as good as the West. But... Yeah. You know, the Knicks are a fun story. I still think Julius Randle needs to go to a better organization because he'll never win a title there. I have Hawks in six because I think the Hawks are immensely talented. If everybody's playing up, you know, they have seven guys that average double-digit points per game. They share the ball. They've got size with Capella and Collins. They've got Trae Young in the backcourt. They've got Kevin Huerter. They've got Danilo Gallinari. You've got Cam Reddish. You got Lou Williams. Like that team can play. That team can flat out play. And I love Nate McMillan. Nate McMillan, I think, is a star. So I got Hawks in six. I look forward to that series, though. That's going to be a fun series. Those two teams are going to run, and they're going to keep it interesting.
They are. I'm sorry to hear you say that, bro. I was so against Julius Randle becoming a Rocket, and I was like, damn, maybe he wouldn't look good in that red and white. I think we should have sent Westbrook to New York. But
name? It's like losing Capella. It's like losing Capella. The Rockets' downfall started with the trade of Chris Paul, which I agreed with at the time, but people don't understand the ramifications of that trade. You acquire Russell Westbrook, you had to trade Capella because the only way Westbrook could play was without an interior presence to open up the court for Westbrook. You then had to trade Capella. Then you traded Covington. Like it's terrible. Like it's shameful the way that this roster has been managed. But Clint Capella would have been the perfect guy to have with a guy like Christian Wood, because Christian Wood's a guy who wants to play, you know, for some reason, 45 feet away from the basket, you know, half of the time. And Capella is that rim stopper that you need. So. That's why I like Atlanta. I like Atlanta a lot in this series. I like Atlanta in six. I think they've got advantages all over the court. Mm-hmm. You look at the Knicks. I love Randle. Mm-hmm. But then you've got a bunch of dudes like Derrick Rose has been there, done that. But Derrick Rose has never played in an NBA Finals. You've got RJ Barrett. You've got Alec Burks. You have the point guard Quickly. You've got Reggie Bullock. And you have Elfrid Payton. Those are the guys who average double-digit points for the Knicks. If you're the Hawks, which of those guys honestly puts a fear of God into you, possession in, possession out, for five or six games?
When it comes to the bench of the Knicks,
I'm just asking of the guys, the bench or the starters. I mean,
dude, Julius Randle does, man.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Outside of Julius Randle, and if you're the Hawks, I mean. John Collins has not played better than Julius Randle this year, but John Collins is the guy who averages 19 and 9 a game. So if you can get 15 plus and 7 plus from Collins night in and night out, you're downgrading the impact that Randall's going to have on each of these games. And you're going to have to get points of production from somewhere else. And there's nobody outside of him that puts the fear of God into me. You know what I mean? Like, if you're playing the Bucks, if you slow down Giannis, you still got to deal with Chris Middleton. The Knicks don't have that secondary guy yet. I think RJ Barrett could be that guy, but I don't think he's there yet.
I mean, it's gonna be interesting. It's like I want to see how Thibodeau coaches these guys up. I feel like they're gonna pull up because I think the Knicks are like one of the top five defenses in the league. So they're gonna throw a lot of bodies at Trae Young outside the perimeter, bro. So he's gonna go through a lot of traps and stuff. But then you have Lou Williams, of course, who can get buckets.
Yep.
And you are right about that. And John Collins is not afraid to shoot the ball. He's shooting the three ball at over 37%. So a guy who can catch and shoot pretty well, pick and roll guy, 72.7 percentile in that area. But it's gonna be interesting. I don't know. I believe in the Knicks because I love the story, bro. I just feel like that crowd in New York is gonna boost them. I feel like they have so much behind them riding. I feel like I just got the Knicks in six, bro. Like, I just see them because they play so well.
That's fair. I mean, we're gonna stay in contact throughout the playoffs. We'll move on to the Bucks in Miami, which I thought earlier today, 109-107, the Heat ended up losing that game to Milwaukee. I thought it was a great game. I mean, I caught a majority of the game. Well played, well coached. My first question to you about this series is, Giannis has the most to gain. He has the most pressure on him in this playoffs, don't you agree? Him and Harden. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's 1-1A, however you want to look at it. Like, Giannis just signed his massive mega deal in Milwaukee, which I think was a mistake. I like what Milwaukee has. I'm not a believer in Milwaukee. I think that Miami's so damn tough. I mean, I give Eric Spoelstra is a top 20 coach of all time in my eyes. I think the guy can just flat out coach. And I love what he's done with that team. And that series is going to go 6 or 7 games. But, you know, what are your thoughts on pressure on Giannis? Where do you see this series going? I've got Milwaukee in 7. I think it's going to take 7 games to beat Jimmy, Bam, Dragic, and company.
Yeah, man. I think didn't Miami beat Milwaukee last year in the bubble?
They did. Milwaukee waxed that ass last year in the bubble. They did not beat they destroyed Milwaukee, and that was when Milwaukee was the number one seed, and that's when Giannis, I believe, in the second-to-last game, faked an ankle injury. And yes, that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to say he was faking an ankle injury because after the game, he was seen in the locker room putting weight on his ankle. I played basketball for 13 years of my life. What is rule number one, Zach, that if you have an ankle injury, what is the number one rule with an ankle?
Stay off your ankle.
Stay off. You could see it. It's documented. He's standing there with a smile on his face. His team just got their ass kicked, and he's standing there with a smile on his face with weight on his ankle. You can't sit here and tell me that, you know, I know he's this media darling. I get it. He gets so much love for a dude that has never done one thing of true team significance in the league. He's never played in an Eastern Conference Finals. He's never been to a Finals, and he's won an
MVP. He
played in one Eastern Conference Finals. Sorry. Yeah, he played in one Eastern Conference Finals, but did not make an NBA Finals. You're right. One Eastern Conference Finals, won an MVP in a year that should have gone to James Harden. So, like, I get it. Great basketball player, but I don't understand the love that he gets. But what are your thoughts on this series?
Dude, man, Miami-Milwaukee, it can go either way. But I do like Milwaukee's chances. I do like them in 7. But I feel like if Jimmy Butler comes out and gets a better offensive performance. But the goal is for Milwaukee is just to catch Jimmy Butler slipping offensively. If you can some way, you know, lessen his offensive ability and his play. Because, bro, so far in the playoffs, I've seen a lot of great defense. And right now, this Boston Celtics and Brooklyn Nets game is defense. Like, it's weird. Like, I've been seeing defense since the play-in, which is weird. Like, everybody in the NBA was throwing up 150 points. Now it's like 110, 111. And that defense, like, Peter Tucker, he had a good defense series on Jimmy Butler pretty well. And so, I mean, you have a bunch of defense stoppers from Milwaukee. But I like the fact that Giannis tried to get elbow jump before halftime off the dribble, which is pretty cool to see. It's kind of cool to see that his form and his shooting is starting to improve. But I like Milwaukee so for our reason, but because of Jrue Holiday. But I mean, this is where Jrue Holiday gets his money. He got signed for a max deal, a mega deal, like you emphasized the other time. Like, when you get paid $150 million for 4 or 5 years, but you got to show out. Like, Drew Holiday has to show out. Like, if Giannis, like, Chris Middleton made a great shot, but, I mean, when it comes to scoring, like, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton got to be there. Definitely Drew, because he got that huge-ass deal. Like,
yeah.
You got to show up. Like, you got to show up. Like, I mean, yeah, Giannis is – I think Giannis is having a great year silently, but – I mean, I think Giannis does have a lot of pressure on him, but it's not as much pressure as James, because I mean it's different if he went to another team. But I mean they gave him everything. You got Drew Holiday at the one, you got Chris Smith at the two, you got Tucker to come off the bench and play some defense, you got you at the 4 and 3, you got Brook Lopez at the 5. I mean,
you got to give credit to the ownership there too.
Yeah,
I mean, here in the city, I mean, I have been nothing less than disgusted at the way that Fertitta has run this organization since taking over. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you've gone from a perennial contender, which, good for the Rockets at the time, because the Rockets were the only organization that had the balls to go after the Warriors. They were the only team. They were the only team that just didn't sit back and say, okay, well, the Warriors, you're our daddy, and that's it. Like, they did. I mean, it's for real, though. Like, the only team in that 4-year stretch that made it to the Western Conference Finals to play against the Warriors were the Trailblazers, and they get swept, and it wasn't even close. You know, that was a joke.
Without KD, too.
Yeah, I mean, without KD. I mean, it's awful. No, I'm with you. I think we're on the same page here. This is the series I want to get to, which is Brooklyn and Boston, because there's a ton of questions surrounding this series as a whole. But before we get to that, I have a question for you. What's worse, guy at the stadium who wears a dress shirt, like a full-blown button-down dress shirt, and does the collar all the way to the top and then wears a jersey over it, or guy who wears the jersey but no undershirt at all? Because both of those guys are awful. I just don't know which one is more awful.
So you're saying basically the guy with the jersey with the dress on, if that's the case, he's coming from work. And
the guy who's at work, he's probably a lawyer, an investment banker, whatever he's doing, and he just throws the jersey on. I hate that look. It just – you can't wear a jersey with Dockers. Like, it just doesn't work. I feel like it's not a match made in heaven, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I stopped wearing jerseys the game a long time ago. I just don't feel like, you know. I mean, okay. Jerseys the game is cool, but jerseys with the guy with the shirt. You say guy with no shirt on underneath, and he's wearing dress pants.
Well, no, the alternate guy is just wearing like a jersey, and he doesn't have like an undershirt or like a wife beater or anything. It's just like jersey, and the side of his nipples are hanging out. You know, like that guy is just terrible. Okay.
Yeah, that's nasty, bro. You gotta put a shirt on. You know what
I'm talking about, right? Like,
I've seen both
of those guys at the game, and it's awful.
I pictured it.
Brooklyn and Boston, a lot of questions here, right? Yeah. I'll tell you this. This is something that I don't feel like enough. What are your feelings about Brad Stevens as an NBA coach?
He's a great coach, X and O's, just like Silas. But I think his time in Boston's coming up, man. It's coming to an end. It's sad, sadly. I mean, he's been there for a minute. How long has he been there? For eight, ten seasons? He's been there for a long time, man.
Yeah,
he's been there since. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. And so you and I are on the same page, right? Like, he's been there since 2013.
Yeah, he's done a good job, though.
I mean, has he?
I mean, he's been at 2 Eastern Conference Finals. It is the thing that sucked the most. He had to play against LeBron. That's the worst.
That's fair. No, it's fair. But it's like, if you're going to tell me that somebody has done a great job as a coach, if you've been there since 13, you got to make at least one finals. That's a great job. That's great. A good job. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a good NBA coach. I think he needs to go back to college. That's where I feel like Brad Stevens belongs. I don't feel like he has enough intestinal fortitude to lead an organization to the promised land.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I do want to see Brad Stevens stay in the NBA, but somebody Somebody told me a long time ago, why would he turn down that money from Indiana? Like, $70 million contract from Indiana. I mean, shoot, I probably thought about taking it too, because I thought his time in Boston was coming up soon. But I think Brad Stevens, he belongs in the NBA. I just think, man, like, he's been to the Eastern Conference Final with Isaiah Thomas, right? And then he went to, surprisingly, went to the Eastern Conference Finals where Ricky, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving goes out early in the season. He has no, like, Gordon Hayward. I mean, dude goes in with, like, with just, like, fresh role players and rookies. And he does a great job.
For sure.
Like I said, this year's been tough, man. Like, I mean, Jaylen Brown, I mean, this is the year you actually could let him go because you went 36-36 with a team you're underachieved with, which you had last year, right? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they both become all-stars this year. So how in the hell are you not a third right. seed or a fourth seed and have and you're 36-36? That's not a record for you. I honestly see maybe a team in the Eastern Conference, like probably like the Wizards, maybe not even the Wizards. I feel like this time is up too. This time is coming up soon, but I think after this year, which is going to be a sweep, it's a wrap for Brad Stevens, and they need more of a man, guy that is just not scared to get into the face. But I mean, Brad Stevens, I think they listen to Brad Stevens, but I just don't think, I mean, it's not working. It's like, why would I have a guy around and we still haven't won that? It's almost 10 years, we still haven't won anything yet. So,
right.
Well,
that was my point, is that I think the notion around Stevens is that Stevens has done a great job in Boston. And I sit here and I say, I mean, no. Just like D'Antoni. I wouldn't say D'Antoni did a great job in Houston. I think D'Antoni
did a good job.
I think he did a good job. I think he did a really solid job. You know, I think he was given a really good roster, but I also think he was hamstrung by the front office. Like the Rockets, I feel like never went 100% full bore ahead, spend what it takes to win a championship. And I feel like the collection of players in Boston, something is off. Like something is missing. They could have used a guy like an Andre Drummond, because up front, I like Robert Williams out of Texas A&M. I think Robert Williams has done a nice job, but they need that second piece. You know, or I would say that auxiliary big man. Let me move to Brooklyn. Number one, is Brooklyn not the most easy team to just hate in the league? Like they have it all. They have the all-time hate team, I feel like.
You know, funny? I don't hate Brooklyn. I don't know. I like Brooklyn. It's like, it's weird because it's like, it reminds you of the Golden State Warriors. But it's like, I hated Golden State, bro. Oh, I hated them. I hated them with passion.
Well, it reminds you of Golden State because Kevin Durant is gravy training in Brooklyn just like he did in Golden State, where it's pretty apparent that he can't do it without, you know, two other fellow superstars. It's embarrassing. You know what? It's ruining the game of basketball. It's not a shock to me that the numbers are down as far as they are because all these guys just want to get, you know, buddy up and play with each other, and it's ruining the game. That's how I see Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant's legacy is forever tarnished. Do you agree with that or no?
I agree because it shows you that it's like a guy that says, hey, bro, it's a guy that thinks he's a fighter, for example, right? This guy talks all the noise. He's like, yo, I can beat you up. And we're like, okay, all right, what's up? Then meet up with us like a man. But he shows up though, but with security. It's like you just talked all this mess and you brought security.
So it's like you want to beef with Michael Rapaport on Twitter. You want to use all of these, you know, these profiles, you know, to go at fans and go at all these different people. I'm like, dude, just focus on yourself. But then you move on to Kyrie Irving and Kyrie Irving's disgruntlements with media and fans is well documented. You move on to James Harden, who, you know, spends every other day in the strip club, which there's nothing wrong with, but it rubs some fans the wrong way. You've got a guy like Blake Griffin, who, you know, wants to date all the Kardashians and do all these different things. And it's just like, it's a team. They have a first-year head coach in Steve Nash. I like Steve Nash. I loved him as a player. But as a coach, verdict is out. It's just, it's an easy team to hate, in my opinion. And this team, it's championship or bust. Even if they make it to the finals and lose, it's a disappointment. Am I off there, or do you think that's accurate?
It's the truth, man. I really do want to see LeBron James win, get another NBA Finals, but I don't know what's gonna happen this year, because you know, I mean, look, I think the Lakers can beat this team. I just gotta see how they look in the playoffs. You know how the Lakers looked last year in the bubble when they were looking a little shaky.
Yeah,
they didn't look the same in the previous season. They were like I said, they were shaky. You know what I mean? But then they lose a game to Portland and they get on fire and they go. Then they lose a game. Then they lose a game to.
They can get up and go.
Yeah. So I want to see. If they do the same philosophy they did last year in the bubble. And so if they look like that, I mean, Brooklyn's in trouble.
I think the Suns are going to beat the Lakers. I said it on my what? Show.
No, bro. So I don't see it happening.
So here's the thing, right? And we've talked, enough Eastern Conference here on the show. I want to get some of Zach's opinions here on the Rockets and. This is a beautiful surprise for the Dream Team getting you here on the show.
Thank you, man.
You look at the backcourt for Phoenix will destroy the Lakers. Who would the Lakers? I mean, who are you going to put on Paul and who are you going to put on Booker? You're going to put Pope on Booker? Good luck, because Booker will roast.
Dude, I like Alex Caruso. I like Alex Caruso.
Oh, here we go with Alex Caruso. Well, no, I mean, last year, I made it onto Reddit. I'm going to send you the link because Alex Caruso is so average and he's.
He probably is, but come on. Well, I mean, he's a good defender.
He's the epitome of if he's on your team, you love him. And if he's not, you can't stand his ass. Like, I cannot stand Alex Caruso. And
really?
After he scored 16 points on the Rockets, like, on these very airwaves, I was like, this guy sucks. And like it's embarrassing, and then they get all these. Right, I mean, look, by league average, he's an average player. He's not a great. He's not a good player in the league. He's a decent.
He is
player.
A good player. I mean, you've not seen him play A&M. You've not seen him play A&M, bro. He was hella good, bro.
Let me be honest with you. I avoid Texas A&M basketball about.
That's
much
why I can see why it makes sense now.
I grew up in a University of Texas household. He wasn't a great player at A&M. Okay, his thing, he reminds me of? He reminds me a lot of, he's better defensively, but he reminds me a lot of Matthew Dellavedova. Like when Matthew Dellavedova and I hate when people do this, when you take a white dude and you compare him to another white dude, but it's like, it's just the type of comparison that pops into my head. When Dellavedova was with the Cavs, you remember, like, everybody was like, oh, look at Matthew Dellavedova. Hey, Matthew Dellavedova this, Matthew Dellavedova that. And then he got legitimate money to go to – where did he go? He went somewhere, I think it's still in the Eastern Conference.
Was it Milwaukee?
It was Milwaukee. He got, like
– it was Milwaukee.
3 years, $12 million, and everybody saw what Matthew Dellavedova really was, which was a less-than-average NBA player. If Alex Caruso – Let me tell you this. If Alex Caruso signed with the Rockets tomorrow, I would think it was a pretty good signing just because of the type of player that he is. But he wouldn't live up to the money. The only reason why he's the player that he is because he's playing with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I don't believe in Caruso at all. And I think Booker or Paul will roast him in that series. Now, the other part of that series to me is the front court for the Lakers, which will...
Okay.
You've got Drummond to play against Ayton, and you're gonna have to, Crowder's gonna have to cover LeBron, and then you're gonna put Mikal Bridges on Davis. But I think the Suns are gonna surprise people. I think they're gonna beat the Lakers. 100%.
I don't see it happening, bro. I don't see it. I got Lakers in five, bro. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's
I got Lakers in five.
I got Suns in six.
If you stay late, if the Suns win another game, it's a steal, bro. It's a steal.
No way.
It's a steal. It's a steal. You win a game, it's a steal.
Well, not with that team. Monty Williams has done a heck of a job.
He does. But, I always tell folks this. You never, ever, ever in your life, you do never, ever doubt Tom Brady and you never doubt LeBron James. Those are probably the two best athletes in America right now.
So let me ask you a question. You mean the LeBron James that's lost, what, six times in NBA Finals? You mean that LeBron
He has four
James?
Rings, though, bro. Four rings. He has four rings last year.
Don't bring out the rings argument, though, because I'll bring out the Robert Horry has more rings than Michael Jordan. Congrats. You have rings. That's great.
So what do you have? So what do you have LeBron James in your all-time? Like, all-time. Like, this is going to explain.
All-time?
What is he at your all-time? Yeah, what is your all-time best?
Third.
Third? Okay. That's almost fair, but he's number two, in my opinion.
Well, Jordan is one, and Magic Johnson is two.
Really? Okay, that's unique. Yeah. All right. You know, it's just top five.
But here's the thing, though. Here's my thing about LeBron. And LeBron, he's won four championships. And how many of those championships did he need not one, but two other superstars? He needed two other superstars when he was in Philadelphia, or in Miami, in Bosh and in Wade. He needed Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving.
Okay, Kevin Love's not a superstar, bro. Kevin Love is not a superstar. If you're going to get Matthew Dellavedova, hell, give Kevin Love hell. Come on, man. I mean, Kevin Love.
You mean one of the greatest pure rebounders ever and a guy who could guarantee you at least. Okay, by NBA standards, he is he's an all-star level player. Let's call it an all-star level player.
He was.
But okay,
1 year?
So LeBron has. Outside of last year was the first year that he was able to win a championship with less than two fellow all-star players.
Yeah.
So that's my problem with LeBron. And the other problem I have with LeBron is the fact, the news that comes out today, there's different rules for LeBron than there is for everybody else.
Oh, I'm glad we're talking about this. That's hilarious to me, bro.
It's not hilarious. It's true. It's 100% true. Which, I don't have a problem with it. As long as the league is very clear with what is happening in their league. The NBA has a bigger problem than LeBron James.
But every team LeBron has played on, look, it's a difference, bro. Every team LeBron has played on is beatable. He's lost six NBA finals, right?
Yeah.
He's beatable. He's like, I feel like the Rockets would have beat him at least. They would definitely have smoked him in 2018. They were going to give him a six-game ass whooping, bro. It was six-game ass whooping.
It wouldn't have gone six. It would have gone five.
I would have given LeBron six because it's LeBron James, bro. Like, because that's like him and James Harden.
That team was awesome.
But it's LeBron, though, man. It's LeBron, though, man. Like, you don't ever, like I said, you don't ever doubt LeBron. Like, LeBron would have got two. Like, he would have got two games. And
I will doubt LeBron.
Really?
He's a fantastic player. He's a top five player of all time. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. But he wins it last year. I give him all the credit in the world for what he did last year. But you and I both know that it was a modified championship last year because of extenuating circumstances with COVID. It's a legitimate title. It's still legitimate. I'm not going to be take away the title guy, but it's a title where in a regular season, would that still have happened? Probably, but you just don't know. So that's why I think he's nearing the finish line. That's how I see it. I think Phoenix is the better team top to bottom. I really do.
The Nets, I mean, I don't know why. I want to see LeBron beat the Nets, bro. Because if he beats the Nets, he has to be number one.
Real quick, sorry. So we have a listener, Brian, who says Michael is tripping. So Brian, here we go. I was about to say, if you'd like to come on and speak, we'd love to have you on. Brian, you're now on the episode of The Dream Shakes the Dream Take. What would you like to discuss tonight?
Right on, man. I just joined up, so I'm not sure where we're at, but I hear that we're discussing Western Conference playoff analysis at this point. Am I right?
Well, we spent a good 35 to 40 minutes on the Eastern Conference segment, and we didn't know that Zach would be joining the show tonight. He's he's making a name here in Houston, radio and podcasting game. So we had him on. So we're just talking a little Western Conference playoffs. So what would you, anything is on the table for you, my man.
Gotcha. No. Yeah. I heard you talking about LeBron, man, a little bit. Yep. And, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, you said he was your number three, like overall historically, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And, the dude's been to 10 championships and he's won four, right?
Yeah.
I like him already.
So less than 50%, yes, sir.
Okay. You're right. But, I mean, Mike, how many did he win? How many did he go to?
He's won four, and he's lost six other ones.
No, Mike Jordan.
Oh, Michael Jordan. He was 6-for-6.
Okay. So how can you hold it against LeBron, the fact that he went to four more already, and he's not done? Like, how many times did Mike lose in the first or second round? And that makes him look better?
No,
that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, to me, it's that anytime he got there, he finished the job. And it's a person. I'll be honest with you. It's a personal thing with LeBron. I can't stand LeBron James. I'm not a LeBron James fan. I think he's the biggest hypocrite in professional sports. I think that he, at this point, is much more interested in making movies and being a political activist than he is being a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. But as a player, I'm still putting him third all time just because of what he does on the court. He's the freakiest athlete to ever play the game of basketball. But by basketball skills, it's Jordan and then Magic Johnson for me.
I don't know about Magic at two. Magic is top five. I'll give you that. But two's a tough sell. He's good, though.
Yeah, I mean, no. If you're in the top five, you're great.
Well, you know what I'm saying. We're talking top five.
For sure. But you're also talking to me. Anytime you start talking about who's in your top five, there's not a list. Like, you can't say this guy is number one for me, this guy is number two for me, and this guy is number, like, there's not a universal list. So it's all subjective. Yeah. But for me, anytime somebody wants to bring out rings goes out the window because Robert Horry has more rings. We talked about this earlier in the show before you joined, that Robert Horry has more rings than Michael Jordan, right?
That's a classic argument. Yeah. I mean, Bill Russell, right? Is he number one all time? No. Number one all time in rings? Yes.
Fantastic,
you know what I mean? Same stuff.
Russell is incredible.
Sure.
I just think this year, you look at this Lakers team, they're the scariest seven seed in the history of the NBA playoffs. We're all on the same page. But I do think that that team just struggled to beat, you know, Stephanie and the Warriors in a play-in game. You know, struggled to beat that team. We haven't even talked about the fact that, you know, we have a guy in the MVP discussion. For the first time in 30 years, his team didn't even make the playoffs. Okay, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But yeah, that's where I'm at with LeBron. I think they go out in the first round. I think LeBron's done playing basketball in the next 2 years. I think he's got 2 years left, and then he's going to be done.
You said two?
2 years. After this year, he'll be in the league for two more years.
I got 4 years, bro. Because he wants to play the 4 years so he can pass everybody up and scoring. I don't know about passing. Nobody's not going to kiss John Stockton. It's impossible. But he wants to be number one in scoring, bro. Definitely number one.
Do both of y'all think that is his number one goal at this point? Is to become,
be.
To beat Jordan?
It's,
I mean, to beat
be.
Jordan six titles?
I mean, dude, I mean, I would love to see that happen, bro. But it's more realistic for him to win five. And I think this is his last year to win a championship. I mean, honestly, this is his last year. Like, he's
so
got
Zach,
his last year.
Do you put LeBron over Michael Jordan?
I felt like if he beats his Nets team, he will be.
Okay. All right. So LeBron is definitely legacy over anything else, right? That's what he's concerned about. That's why we have the movies, him building schools, all that stuff, right? He's chasing Jordan, no doubt. Chasing Jordan. This is his last season as, like, the guy to win a championship. I find it unlikely, but it's possible that he goes to another team in these next 2-3 years and he's not the guy anymore and he accepts that role and he wins another ring, maybe even two.
You think
it's
LeBron
unlikely.
James is going to go to another team and accept not being the guy?
I think he's obviously the ego, right, plays a part, but I think he's also realistic enough to realize that his body, you know, is breaking down. Like, this year, more than any other year, he's feeling his age. And I think his number one thing is chasing that Jordan ring legacy. And I wouldn't be surprised, man. I would not be surprised. I think it's unlikely. I wouldn't rule it out.
Brian, there's a better chance that Halle Berry shows up at my parents' door tonight in nothing but a trench coat with a steak dinner for me and wants to watch ESPN highlights at 2 o'clock in the morning than LeBron going to a team and not accepting being the guy. His ego's too big. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, I think a guy that's willing to do that is more like a James Harden who realized that he can't get it done as the number one guy. That's what he did. James Harden is just like Kevin Durant. They can't do it by themselves. They can't even do it with one fellow superstar. They need a second. That's the only way that they're going to win titles. That's why. Do you, Zach, let me ask you a question. And Brian, let me ask you this. Was Kevin Durant going to Golden State the weakest move in the history of the NBA?
Hell yeah. Hell yes, it was.
Thank you. There's only one right answer. It's a rhetorical question. Brian, do you agree with that statement or no?
Oh, of course, dude. Golden State knocked out the Thunder the year before. Exactly. You know what I mean?
That's all you need to know. 3-1. Oklahoma City had him down 3-1.
Yeah.
And then he jumps ship and he goes there. And then he goes to Brooklyn and does what he does there. I don't fault Brooklyn in this. Like, I don't hate Brooklyn. I hate the players on Brooklyn. I think there's a difference. I much more respect a team like the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm pulling for the 76ers in the East because I think the 76ers did it right. They built their team the right way. They sucked, and they get the number one pick. And then they get a guy like Ben Simmons, and you sign a guy like Tobias Harris. Then you get a guy like Seth Curry. They're doing it the right way. Like, I'm looking at Kevin Durant now on the sidelines. Like, I hate Kevin Durant. The sight of his face just makes me want to turn the TV off. Like, that's what Kevin Durant has done for basketball. The game of basketball, okay, I'll ask this, and I want each of you guys to answer this question. The NBA has never had a group of superstars that is more weak-minded and not selfish, but weak-minded and soft than the superstar group that they have right now as a whole.
So you're saying the past or today's?
Ever.
You're saying the past and today's?
No, I'm talking about the group of superstars today, and take everything into account. The fact that they sit out, Kawhi Leonard has to sit out games. The fact that Durant can't play a full season. The fact that John Wall is missed the vast majority of the last couple of years. This year, not so much because of injury, but because he had to sit out for load management. The fact that these guys feel like they have to team up. Like, I feel like this is the softest generation of NBA superstars in the history of the league.
It could be. It's possible. I mean, I do miss the old days when you grow up and you got a guy like Kobe Bryant playing with a broken pinky.
Yep.
Isaiah Thomas running on a broken ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, you had guys playing with broken noses. I mean, bruised up, and they gave everything they had. Today's situation's got to be – you got to sit out. I mean, it's just, I don't know. But I think today's game, in my opinion, is probably the funnest to ever watch basketball because scoring is at an all-time high. Like, everybody can score the ball at the five. And not just from the five, but from the perimeter. We didn't have big men shooting three-pointers back in the days when we were growing up in the 2000s. I mean, they were, but they weren't that many.
Arvydas Sabonis, Vlade Divac, Chris Webber. So don't forget about those guys. Brian, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with that sentiment or no?
I mean, like, softest, obviously players nowadays, right, with load management and all that, it's a different game. Where back in the day, you're just a pussy if you sit out a game for something stupid like a broken nose. But that's just like a cultural thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not the NBA. That's just like everything. Like baseball, football, whatever. They didn't give a fuck. But besides that, what I want to say about it is that I don't know how you can hold it against a player as far as legacy goes and rings go. I don't know how you can hold it against them whether or not the talent surrounding them was acquired by free agency or draft. Like, at that point, that's up to the front office. That's up to the GM. That's up to the coach. Like, those old-timey Celtics and Lakers teams, they were stacked because they drafted really well, and they were drafting much better than every other team in the NBA, and they were developing their talent. And that doesn't have a whole lot to do with any individual player per se. But if a team is able to acquire talent through free agency, I think it's unfair to hold that against any individual player's legacy just because they weren't drafted, they were signed as a free agent. You know what I mean?
I hold it against the player if it was of their own free will and accord. Like, I hold
sure,
it
sure.
against
I mean,
the
like,
fact.
Like KD signing with Golden State, that's him going to a team. Sure. But, I mean, Steph, he was already on Golden State. He was homegrown. Clay, homegrown. KD comes to them.
No.
Right. Well, I mean,
hold it against them. I hold it against KD individually. I don't hold it against – Clay and Steph are in the record. Steph is the greatest pure shooter to ever play the game of basketball. Reggie Miller is a close second for me, but Steph is number one. I don't hold it against Steph. I don't hold it against the Warriors organization. If Kevin Durant says, I'm going to come sign there, of course you're going to take him. But I hold it against Kevin Durant individually for making that conscious decision to say, I'm going to go play for this team, even though they just knocked my ass out when I had them down 3-1 and I couldn't get it done with Russell Westbrook.
And that's fair on your part, but you do realize there's plenty of people out there who do hold it against Steph, that those titles came as a result of KD coming over. You know what I mean? And whether or not you hold it against him individually, it's still one of those things that when it comes time to rank them in the all-time greats, it's going to be one of those things that's talked about, regardless of whether or not you agree or disagree.
Well, but he also won a title with Draymond and with Klay before Durant got there. So it's not like he was obviously a key part of that team. He was also the first ever unanimous MVP of the league. The guy is a bona fide star. But you're also seeing what he does. He had a great year this year, great numbers-wise. Who gives a damn? Who cares? He had a great year. He couldn't get his team to the playoffs? You couldn't get your team past Memphis? Like, and you still have talent. And it goes against him. If they had James Wiseman and then they had Klay Thompson, they would have been a higher seed and they never would have been in that playoff, in that playing game. But it still is not a great look that you couldn't even beat that team. I mean, really?
And so that's the perfect example of holding, you know, an individual player's decisions against his legacy and things like that. I mean, Steph, best pure shooter of all time. I agree. No doubt about it. Easy. He couldn't get them in the playoffs this year.
Oh, yeah.
What does that say about Steph? You said he won one before KD, but he won one before
KD.
Well,
he also had Klay Thompson. He also had Draymond Green.
In my opinion, dude, I think all of Steph Curry's championships are deserved asterisks. They all do. They all do.
Oh, that's hot. Oh, I like it. Okay. Explain.
Yeah, I think, because in my opinion, bro, like, honestly, man, like, he would never win the first one if Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving were both out, right? Because we've seen what happened the second year. They were down 3-1.
Yeah.
Then they came back and they won. But I think it was the momentum. That's why they were down 3-1. But that year, I think LeBron would have had back-to-back. Then he would have had his third one if Kevin Durant never came back. And then just to think about that one, I don't even think they would have been – I don't know if they would have made the NBA Finals. Well, they probably would have. They probably would have made the NBA Finals. Who knows? But then I think because LeBron would still be in Cleveland right now, honestly. He would still be in Cleveland. So would Kyrie Irving, because they'd be a dynasty right now, because they would have – like at least 3 or 4 championships in Cleveland.
I don't think Kyrie was going to stay, no matter what.
Kyrie is a wild card. Like, no one knows what that dude is thinking, what he's doing. Like, he doesn't even know. He's in a good situation in Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn wins it all. Ultimately, I think Brooklyn has too much for anybody to play with. And I think there's a real shot James Harden ends up coming back to Houston.
I do. I think they might get him one. He'll come back next season, trying to come back.
And the thing is, I hate the way he left Houston was a travesty. Like he acted like a baby back bitch, for lack of a better term. He acted like a baby back bitch, right? He threw a temper tantrum, and the organization gave in again, because there's not too many organizations in professional sports, whether it's the NBA, MLB, you know, whatever, that will stand up to athletes anymore.
No, honestly, that's worse than what KD did. It's worse than what KD did.
No, it's not.
At least KD was a free agent. Harden forced a trade.
He didn't force a trade, though. That's where the disconnect is. He didn't force anything, because the organization gave into a trade request. You can't force a trade. He's under contract for 2 years. You can't force a trade if you're under contract for 2 years.
I understand why James Harden did it, though. I thought the same way, but I was so
I do.
I was with it, but I understood it. So I mean, yeah, I understood.
But it's one of the worst trades.
Yeah,
it's one of the worst 5 trades in NBA history for the Rockets.
It is.
It's awful. I mean, Brian, do you agree with that statement? It's one of the 5 worst trades in the history of basketball.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is a terrible trade. So I don't know how you can say he didn't influence that in any way and force it if that was the result of it. You know what I mean?
He influenced it.
Clearly, he gave them an ultimatum.
Who cares? But it doesn't matter, though. Who gives a damn? Then you know what? It's the same thing with Deshaun Watson right now with the Texans. He said,
No, it's not.
It's absolutely the same. How is it different? Give me one example of how it's different.
Well, I mean, there's allegations here that's kind of
a little different. Put those aside, right? At the time that both guys requested the trade, it was I want out of your organization. And the Texans didn't move on it when they had 3 months to trade him before the allegations came out, and they didn't do it. Why? Because they're smart. They say, you're under contract for 4 more years, dude. It's no different than what the Rockets had with Harden. Two guys, both in their prime, both under contract, both disgruntled with the organization. One team is handling it the right way before the allegations, and one team didn't. The Rockets panicked. They traded James Harden, and it is going to impact the organization for the next 10 years.
For sure. The difference is, besides the allegations, obviously, is that Deshaun signed an extension the year before, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit different. He gave them full faith. He wanted to stay with the organization. He signed an extension, and then the following year, he demands a trade. That's a little bit different than Harden being in Houston for how long, and then seeing the team crumble along, you know, and then deciding, okay, I don't want to be here anymore.
Well, the difference is Harden did it 2 years after his extension. Watson did it after 1 year. Harden was also integral in the building of the roster that he was then disgruntled with, which really doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he's just mad at himself in the situation. But
I agree. It's because they didn't win.
Well, yeah, but it ultimately comes down to in its most simplest form, it's two superstars under contract that they can't force their way out of anything. The Rockets should have told James Harden, we're going to sit your fat ass on the bench if you're not going to show up and play. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what the Rockets should have done. And he would have eventually said, either I'm going to play or I'm going to sit out for a year and a half. And then the Rockets could have reexamined it after the year. They didn't have to trade him. They traded him. And if you look at Zach Ambrine, think about this, right? The Rockets this year, with all of their disgruntled players that they traded, Russell Westbrook wanted to be reunited with Scott Brooks in Washington. He was traded there. James Harden came out and said that he wanted to go to Brooklyn. They traded him there. P.J. Tucker came out and said, trade me to a contender. They trade him to Milwaukee, which is one of the biggest contenders out there. It's not a coincidence here. The Rockets are trying to gain favor in the league again because of the way they've treated athletes in the NBA under Daryl Morey's regime. And it's sad because it's player first and not organization first. That's the travesty going on, not only in the NBA, but professional sports, is that the athletes are controlling everything, which is not the way this needs to be.
But mostly the NBA.
Mostly the NBA, yes. Zach, do you agree with that?
Hey, bro, before I answer that question, dude, like, you never mentioned Portland and Denver. That's a series that can go either way, either. That's another series. But back to what you were saying, man, honestly, Deshaun Watson, James Harden, the situations are almost about similar. Both guys, well, because it just depends. A superstar wants what he wants. The reason why James Harden actually left Houston is because him and Russell Westbrook didn't get to say so inside the coaching or the management. And I guess Tim and Petita ignored.
They should,
because, I mean, definitely James in that. I think when it comes to James, right, James wanted D'Antoni. He got D'Antoni. Well, he didn't want D'Antoni. D'Antoni was there. He wanted D'Antoni back. Why would you want D'Antoni back if you have not won a championship yet? Yeah, yes, you didn't have Chris Paul, but then you did have Chris Paul. You couldn't make it work out because both y'all wanted two different things on the court. But then you wanted John Lucas to be head coach. That's not very smart.
Do you know what D'Antoni, Daryl Morey, and James Harden all have in common by NBA standards?
They're all friends, really?
They're all losers. By NBA standards, they're all losers.
But that's what
happens, is that a loser mentality wants to be surrounded by a loser mentality.
Most of the time. And you can't do that, man. It's like you can't put John Lucas as your head coach. No, he, him and Russell Westbrook, they wanted Ty Lue. And I think they and we all wanted Ty Lue. Ty Lue was probably the best pick out of Silas and another coach, right? But the problem was, I think Tema Fatida actually ran James Harden away because they didn't get what they wanted. And everybody in Houston wanted Ty Lue. Ty Lue was probably the best pick for us. But they didn't want to pay the money, the luxury tax. And that's one reason where that tells James Harden is you're not trying to win. If you're not trying to get the coach, it means you're not trying to spend the money. And I blame Daryl Morey for letting – James Harden got what he wanted in Houston, I think. Yeah, but he didn't get the right place. He didn't get more shooting. He needs shooting around. Hold on.
Brian, before you respond to that, he didn't get the players he wanted. I feel like half the damn league has played for Houston at this point. It didn't work with Dwight. Mm-hmm. And then didn't work with Chris. And then it didn't work with Russell. And then we got him basically everything he wanted. I do agree with you that Tillman never went all in on the roster. He went He went 95% of the way there. He didn't want to spend the rest of it. And this entire year has all been about salary cutting, which is ridiculous. Like, I don't care what's going on in his personal life. Spend the money. You're the owner of one of my teams. I don't give a damn what you want to do. Spend the money. If you don't want to spend the money, then go get somebody that will spend the money. Brian, do you agree with that?
I mean, there's a lot to take in there. Do I agree with what the owner, you know, filling out a payroll to field a competitive team or what?
I mean, do you agree with the fact that Tillman Fertitta did not do enough for James Harden when he was here as a Rocket, and that's why he wanted out?
I mean, I'm biased. I'm a Mavs fan personally, right?
Well, then get the hell off of the show. What the hell are you doing here? Congrats on the win today. I'm very jealous you guys are there.
Oh, no, I'm stoked for sure. I agree. You probably had it right. You said they filled out about 95% of what he wanted and didn't go all the way in, but was pretty damn close. And they got pretty damn close to winning a championship. I mean, all things considered, they went pretty far. It just didn't work out. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Okay, so before we wrap up the show, because we've been going for a while now, where does Dirk rank in your all-time big men in the state of Texas?
Oh, dude, that's like specific. Big men in the state of Texas? I don't know about that. I can tell you from the top of my head, he's a top 10 scorer of all time.
Is he a better player than Hakeem Olajuwon?
No, he's not. He's not better than Tim Duncan either.
But he's up there. All right, Brian, this is going to go one of two ways. Either we were going to be family at the end of the show or I was going to kick your ass off my show. But, I mean, I'm glad we get to be family. You're a good dude. We appreciate you hopping on the show. Come back anytime, my man. This was fun.
No, appreciate the invite, man.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Zach, thank you so much for coming on, my man. This was fun. I had a good time.
I'm glad you did, bro. Thank you for letting me come on, bro.
You are welcome on literally anytime. This has been SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Make sure to check out all of our amazing work over at thedreamshake.com. Make sure to check out The Dream Shake on Facebook at The Dream Shake, on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow me on Twitter personally at BSW_MB. Make sure to follow my co-pilot, Mr. Jeremy Brenner, at Jeremy Brenner. Zach, if you want to throw down your Twitter handle and anything else you got going on that all of our listeners can check out.
So I have a Twitter. It is at Renzo De Don. So R-E-N-Z. O-T-H-D-O-N, Renzo the Don on Twitter. And you can find my podcast, Apple Podcasts. I haven't been on it in a minute, but I will get back this weekend. It's called Zoe's Podcast on Apple. You can get it on Spotify and Apple. 5 minutes, including Instagram. Instagram is the same thing. It's Renzo the Don 94. Come follow me and check me out.
Beautiful. See? Easy enough. By the way, before we wrap up, if the Rockets get the number 2 pick in the NBA draft, Cade Cunningham goes 1. We have number 2. Who should the Rockets take?
Evan Mobley.
Oh, my God. I didn't think I could love you anymore. Now, instead of just us being cousins at the family barbecue, we are now brothers at the barbecue, all right? We're sitting at the same table. You know, we're breaking bread. This, see, the perfect ending to the show.
Yeah.
Anyway. Awesome, man. Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime. You guys have a absolutely great rest of your night and a great rest of your week. See you next time.
Good luck, bro.